Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
You are listening to episode 101.
The second 100.
Second Thought, dog.
Second 100.
Second 100 has officially started here at the Austin American Statesman. I'm Cedric Golden with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. We got to give a little shout out to the people that make it happen. The people at Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light.
Absolutely.
Producer Alyssa Vidalis. Big show. Here's the thing, Duck.
Yes.
It's the College World Series is in 2 weeks.
Right.
And we're down to the
last 16.
Super regional round.
Yeah,
16
teams left.
Your Texas Longhorns are one of the 16 hosting Tennessee Tech on Saturday and Sunday. Monday, if necessary. And if they win two of the three, they're going back to Omaha for the first time since 2014.
Back to the promised land.
I hate to break it to you, dog.
Yeah.
If they, go, I'm going to take this one.
You are?
Yeah.
How many
have you been to?
I've been a couple.
A couple of hundred. Come on.
Hey,
get the hot trips. You get the Masters.
I don't take the boxing from you.
There is no boxing.
Well, if there were, I wouldn't take it from you.
No, there's no boxing.
I don't take the soccer matches from you.
Yeah, you're secretly plotting, checking out hotels. I know you and Davis.
Plot. Do you?
If I wasn't going to Las Vegas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I would be in Omaha.
Well, you've only been to Vegas 100 times.
Not this year, sir.
Oh.
Not this
just
year.
5th year?
Oh, man.
How much money do you leave in that town?
Let's not even get to that.
Oh, well, you brought it up.
Speaking of money.
Yes.
The Texas Longhorns were money.
They were money. They were clutch.
They were
that
clutch.
That pitching staff, 37 strikeouts, one walk.
One walk.
That's obscene.
If they get that ratio this weekend, they get that ratio for the rest of the year.
37. They're going to beat everybody.
Our conversation is going to be a lot different in a couple of weeks. They'll be national champions. But first, they got to beat Tennessee Tech.
Oh, yeah.
No joke. 52-10 out of the Ohio Valley
Conference.
Most wins in the country.
Most home runs in the country.
Best batting average.
Yeah.
338 in the country.
You know, it's funny, too, because people are going to, they got home games against Tennessee Tech. There's no way they'll lose to Tennessee Tech, but this team's for real.
I'm sure people in Oxford, Mississippi were thinking the same
thing. Yeah, I think they were.
With a double dip, and they're like, oh, we just got to win one of these at the house.
Right.
Done deal.
They won 52 games, like you said. You know, and they played in snow. You know, I mean, they're conditioned. And like you say, they're not going to be intimidated coming into the dish.
They are battle-tested, as are the Texas Longhorns. And you know what?
What's
where
that?
In this country, I'm asking you, Doug,
okay,
can you get Texas baseball coach David Pierce and Tennessee Tech baseball coach Matt Braga on the same podcast?
Nobody else.
No one else.
You got to have so much pull.
Got to have a little bit of pull. If you love college baseball, you tuned in.
This is your day.
The right spot.
Yeah.
Let's start it out with Texas coach David Pierce on Second Thought. Joining us, I guess we can call him now, a friend of the podcast. He's been on 3 times now.
We want him to be a regular.
We want him to be a regular because he gives us something to write about in the dog days of summer. The Texas Longhorns, 2 wins away from Omaha, welcoming Tennessee Tech to the dish for the Super Regional. David Pierce, the head coach, joins us. Coach, how's it going today?
Cedric, it's going well. Just had morning workouts and a little high school playoff going on at the dish, trying to do some reports on Tennessee Tech, look at some film. So it's an exciting week.
Well, David, you told us earlier in the week on Tuesday that you almost OD'd on college baseball from your recliner on Monday. I was curious.
Yeah.
I guess you're probably watching every pitch of that regional. How emotional did you get in watching that, those two games?
Well, you know, you first go into it and your focus is on Ole Miss because you're not real sure that anybody has the ability to take a doubleheader from them.
Right.
In Oxford at this time of the year, so you kind of focus in that way, and game one ends, and okay, so Tennessee Tech did their thing in game one, and so, okay, Ole Miss is going to take game two, and it's going to be dramatic, but we're going to Oxford, and didn't happen that way, and so really had to back up a little bit and start scouting both sides, but no way I really thought that, and it was knock against Tennessee Tech. I didn't think it was going to happen where they went in there and took a doubleheader in a regional in Oxford, but they did, and that shows you the resiliency of the team that we're playing, the toughness of the team we're playing, the experience of that group. So it's going to be a really, really tough match with these guys, and I'm glad it's at Dishball. I'll just say, I had an option to play one or the other on a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which one I would play, but
right.
If you got the opportunity to play at home, I know who I was rooting for, and that's not me thinking that any team is lesser of an opponent. It was just the fact that we get to play at home where we're better and our fans are with us. So I'm glad we're at home for a super regional for sure.
Well, that showed last week when you went 3-0 and just whitewashed Texas Southern, A&M, Indiana, went a perfect 3-0, didn't need an extra game. You are 30-7, I believe, your home record, and been close to unbeatable there. Does momentum carry over, you think, David, from a regional to the super regional, even though it's a different opponent and a week later?
It does, but it carries over for 16 teams. And if you think about that, every team in the Supers right now just won a championship.
There you go.
Right.
They just won a regional.
Right.
So every team left thinks they're going to Omaha. And so you have to do things that separate yourself from your opponent, and I think that's the challenge. One, sticking with what works for you and doing what you do versus trying to counter so much for what another team does. But, you know, we tell players all the time to trust the process, to trust themselves, trust your skill. But we have to trust our preparation the same way. And we have to have our guys go in with the same confidence of things that we've been doing. And so that's the key for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I know coaches always harp on that, trust the process, trust your preparation. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about it's one thing to hear it from your coach, but then when you go out and execute a plan and win three games and keep the pitching staff relatively fresh, that drives home a larger point. How big is it the fact that they did it? It's one thing to trust the process. It's another thing to execute it.
Confidence, and they went out with great confidence, and I think the key for us when you look at formulas, why we win certain games, and it's really pitching and defense. And when our pitching really gives up, you know, and you can add the hit batters, but less than three or four guys for three games, it's tough to get better than that. And so they went out and just attacked the zone, believed in themselves, believed in their stuff, and allow the defense to work and just really execute it. Now what we need to do is not put pressure on ourselves to be perfect, but to go out there and just have the same plan and go attack good hitters. You know, there's something to be said about a good pitch, and it's very relevant. A good pitch is a good pitch in any level of baseball. So our goal is just to go out and repeat quality good pitches one after the other. If we make a mistake, don't let it build. And I think we grew up when you saw some adversity. Take a Blair Henley against Indiana. When he had a little adversity, he continued making quality pitches. And
right.
To me, that was the difference of Blair Sunday night versus some of his other starts, where he got too emotional, got locked into not getting a call, or a defender didn't make a play for him, or whatever the case was.
Right.
But Sunday night, mentally, he stayed the course, and I thought that was a very good sign by Blair.
Well, Coach, I know you're a big picture guy, and you know the hoopla was going on after the regional win, and I saw you sought out Andy McGuire, and he struggled on the mound, your reliever, and you wanted to tell him how important he was to all of this, and because there's still more fish to be fried on this thing. Why did you think it was important for you to reach out to him and let him know that this thing isn't over and there's a lot more bigger games coming up?
Well, I think you answered that. I mean, he's been a huge part of it. He's done the things that gave us confidence to put him in that role. He's earned that role. And his last couple of outings, either via the hit batter, the base on ball, you know, we're in a pickle and leadoff hitters on base. And that's a little bit of a trend now. And I just had to pull him to the side and say, look, This is how this entire team has operated this year. It's picking each other up. And so it was the right time to go to Chase right there to pick you up and understand it only as that. So you've got to get yourself ready for next week and to, you know, get back on the horse and be ready. He had a short out yesterday, and sometimes you just got to take a step back and realize what made you good. Why are you in that role? And sometimes it's just getting back out there. But we needed to get him out there in a little inter-squad setting or in a what we call our extra period, where we just go hitter, catcher, pitcher. He had real good feel of the slider and much better feel of his fastball. So we expect him to be in that role, and we expect him to get it done.
As well you should, like he has most of the year. Well, in Tennessee Tech, you got a different animal there. You're facing a team with a team batting average of .338. They've had 134 home runs. They average over 10 runs a game. Are these guys a bunch of Babe Ruths or what?
It sure appears that, right?
It does.
I mean, those are the numbers that stick out. Their offensive numbers really stick out. Their number of wins, they've won 52 games. It's more than anybody in the country.
Right,
so
right.
You can say what you want about schedule. You can say what you want about, you know, ballparks and types of pitchers they're facing. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, there's some guys can't hit 300 in batting practice. And these guys are doing it against quality arms. So that's something we have to look at. But that's my job, because look at that and see how is the best way to attack these guys. But our team has to go out there and do what we do. We're not going to change a lot of things. The other thing that I think gets overlooked is they have four guys they really rely on, and Moss, Evie, Percy, and then their closer, Roberts.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think two of those guys were drafted before any of our pitchers.
Hmm.
I know Moss, I believe it was Moss or Roberts drafted in the seventh, and the other one right there with him. So, you know, we're not facing chump guys on the mound either.
No, so you're not.
This is a very quality team. I mean, defensively, if you look at anything, you would say that corners lack a little foot speed. But other than that, they're just an all-around pretty good team, and we're going to have to go out and take this. We're not going to be handed anything. So, you know, we do the prep and get ready to play.
Coach, I was going to ask you, you mentioned the draft, and Kirk and I talk about this all the time. I don't know why MLB does that draft in the middle of the most important part of the college baseball season. How do you manage that? I know you got four guys, Cody Clemens, Nolan Kingham, Chase Sugar, and Josh Sawyer, that got drafted. But there are other guys that may have thought that they were going to be drafted as well, and they may not be feeling great about things. And this is a time when you're two wins away from getting where you want to be. How do you manage those emotions in a clubhouse?
Well, honestly, the NFL's draft is not during the bowl games. The NBA draft is not during the Final Four. Our system is skewed right now, and it's unfortunate because we're in the most important time of the year for 16 teams, and the only good thing about it is it's in the early part of the week, but I mean, the last couple of days, we've been scrambling with incoming recruits, with advisors, and dealing with scouts and general managers and scouting directors, as well as controlling emotions of our own players, of, you know, guys that go out and get drafted and they're all giddy and excited, which, yeah, that's awesome. But then they have to shift gears and get back to practice and understand what we're trying to accomplish. So there is a lot of emotions right now. And, you know, the best thing we can do is what we do with everything is we attack it head on. We have our meetings. We congratulate guys and just understand that you've got to be mature and understand how to compartmentalize. And if you can do that and clear your minds, then it gives us our best chance. We had a meeting today after practice, and one of the things is just overall distractions. I mean, I've been to 6 Super Bowls, and my brother-in-law was coaching in them or playing it. Actually, I think 7 now. But I learned from him. He'd say at the beginning of the week, let's get all your tickets taken care of. Let's get all of your family arrangements taken care of. And by the week, we've got to get back to mentally working on our game and being prepared, because Saturday will be here before you know it. And next thing you know, hey, let's play the game. We're going to win, and it's not that easy. So we try to knock as much of this early in the week as possible. Get your mom, get your girlfriend, take care of all of those things, the stuff that everybody is concerned about that we can control by pushing that along. I mean, my wife is our ticket manager right now.
Nice.
And delegating.
And she does a great job. She does a great job with it. But it's stressful because you want to accommodate people. But it's the way it is.
Well, it's all about delegating. You're exactly right. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. We mentioned the players that got drafted. You know, Cody, first pick of the 3rd round, which may be too low because the way he's hit all year long. I know he hadn't done it 3 years, but I'm sure he wants to come back just to play for you for another year, right? that's his character.
I think that's wonderful that you said that.
Put Kirk Bowles on the payroll. Put him on the payroll.
One more year to play for
Kirk. I don't think we're getting him back.
Probably not. And as far as the other guys in the 12th round, I guess Sawyer in the 16th round, Josh is a senior, so I don't know if you hold any hope that Nolan or Chase might come back, but probably doubtful there as well, right?
Well, that's another piece of our system. I mean, your only leverage here is if you're eligible as a sophomore, eligible 21-year-old, you have 2 leverage years, but your junior year is the only year that you have leverage.
That's right.
And so you got to maximize the leverage for next year. They could draft you, and you know they could give you a bus ticket. So it's just the way this, you know, it's the way the system is. Fortunately, we have them 3 years. Like in Shaka's case,
he's most
likely going to keep them for a year.
Yeah,
if they're in that category. The one thing about basketball than us is that, you know, that first round, second round is about the only guy that's going to go. And ours, you're dealing with deeper rounds because you have so many affiliates. And so it is a interesting process. There is no exact science to it. But it's a piece of our game that we have to control and manage.
Right. And you've already named Nolan Kingham as your starter Saturday afternoon for game one. Were you tempted to go with Chase again, that thinking, well, if he threw 69 pitches like he did in game one against Texas Southern, he could come back Monday for an inning or two? Or why'd you go with Nolan?
Well, he's been our that guy for 2 years, and he's been the guy that started the weekend off for us. And, you know, that's a critical role. That's a guy that has to be comfortable with that role. Our hand was kind of forced to go the other way, and it made sense knowing what we needed to do to win a regional, and you're also dealing with different teams versus one team.
True.
So that's kind of the plan.
Yeah, no, I understand. And last question I have for you, David, is balancing the pressure, you know, as you well know, you know, and Cedric quoted him in the column today about Augie always saying Omaha was mandatory, and that's kind of the feeling it's been with, you know, Augie here and Gus here before him. And I don't know, how do you, you know, if you're a Texas player, the expectation is so huge, and now you're at home, and you have a lesser name in team only, and I emphasize team only. Do you talk to your players about that pressure, or do you just avoid that conversation altogether?
I don't avoid much. and I think what happens is players understand the expectation from this place. And I think the more I talk about attacking it that direction, for me personally, I think, and with this particular team, I think that pressure. So we attack it with, you know, in our workout today, we brought up some things about Tennessee Tech's weakness and where we could possibly expose them and what we have to prepare for, types of arms, and just getting them ready to build that confidence. And that confidence creates that. And, you know, I tell our guys every day, we're not guaranteed anything. We go out and play a great game, but we're not guaranteed to win the game. And we could go out and play a sloppy game and win the game and really didn't deserve it. So the game dictates some of that stuff that you can't control. And so for me, it's get yourself ready, go to the game, and just kind of stay in that moment. And when you find yourself inching out of it, when you find yourself having a little anxiety, or when you find yourself pressing because you're trying to do too much, you got to take a step back and try to get yourself right back there. It's just like a hitter. You know, a hitter gets into a slump. Well, why do certain guys stay in a slump really too long and other guys can get out of it? They find ways. It may be a drag bunt hit. It may be a base on ball. So you just try to get that game to three innings, to one inning, to one pitch. And, you know, it is an expectation. There has to be a realistic expectation as well in everything we do. And so we just approach it very simple approach. And at the end of the day, players play, and they have to be good enough to go out there and play when the game's on the line.
So the Dish will be rocking on this weekend. Saturday's game one's at 2 o'clock, and Sunday's also at 2 at the Dish. And, Coach, we can't wait to get out there and watch the Longhorns. It's going to be a great series, two great teams, and there's nothing like good college baseball in the summer. We appreciate you coming on, man.
Okay. Hey, appreciate it again, and we'll see you at the Dish.
All right. Best of luck to you, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us via phone in the dungeon, this guy might be the most talked about college baseball coach in the country, Tennessee Tech's Matt Braga is on the phone. Coach, how's it going today?
Hey, going fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Man, we appreciate having you, and can't wait to see you and your team here in Austin this weekend. When do y'all arrive, first of all?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just found out a little bit ago, our plane leaves Nashville tomorrow at noon, gets into Austin, I think, a little bit after 2, and probably be checking in around 3:30 or 4 would be a good guess.
Well, awesome. Well, we can't wait to have you down here. So, you know, I think most of college baseball in the whole nation was probably a little bit shocked when y'all went into Oxford and took 2 from Ole Miss on the same day. Were you pinching yourself, or did you expect this, or what were your emotions that day, Matt?
Yeah, well, first of all, probably most Austin, Texas was big stars that day. I was thinking of that before the whole day even started. I bet Texas is rooting for us. They want a few more home games, and so, but yeah, you know, it's so funny. Our guys set goals for this program every year, and you know, before they went home for Christmas, they set goals, and these guys have a strong belief system, and I have a strong belief system in them as their baseball coach. And so quite honestly, and I do not mean not arrogant at all. Not even a little bit. We have so much respect for everybody we play, but we expect to be here. I mean, we have great belief, and we expect to be where we're at. Yet at the same time, guys, I will be honest with you, when the game was over, the championship game on Monday night against Ole Miss, and after all the media stuff was done, I was kind of one of the few people left in the whole ballpark, and I went back into the first base dugout, our dugout, and I just took a moment to kind of take it in. Sat there and just took it in a little bit and really enjoyed the moment. But what a great time and a great atmosphere in Oxford, and we look forward to this weekend as well.
I'm going to tell you, Matt, that's very important, man. You got to stop and smell the roses.
I love that.
When you do something that monumental, and I was in Oxford in 05 when Texas had to go in there and win two games. That is a raucous, raucous place. The fans are on top of you, and there's a lot of buzz. I was going to ask you, Dish Falk, very similar this past weekend. How do you think that experience in Oxford is going to help your team as they come into yet another beehive in the Supers?
Yeah. Well, you know, hostile is probably the right word. I mean, my wife can describe it better than me sitting in the stands. I mean, it was a great, great atmosphere. And you know, it's one of those things in the Ohio Valley Conference. You know, and even in the SEC, they don't play in front of the raucous crowds like that every single game. I mean, there's games where there's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, not quite as noisy, not quite as loud. But there was 12,000 there that first game, and probably close to that the last two we played them.
Wow.
And here's where it got us. It didn't speed the game up. We have a very mature, experienced group, but we are very vocal. Like we do a lot of things where you have to use your voice. And I'm a loud in terms of how my voice is. And so, you know, there was a play where there was a tandem relay, and our second baseman, great player, by the way, but our second baseman got the ball, and he didn't verbally hear what was going on behind him. So they were able to score a run that they should not have. And so the crowd played a little bit that way. But so what we did, the adjustment we made, was more of a body communication and have a head on a swivel type of thing. And it really helped us in the latter half of the first game we played them. And then, honestly, the second, third time we played them, our guys relished it and cherished it and enjoyed every moment of it. So, I think it, you know, it definitely prepares you for what's ahead. We know that coming to Austin, it's going to be another raucous crowd, and that'll be exciting.
Well, you mentioned the noise level there in Oxford. You know, they've got a cannon here in Austin, Matt. They call it Old Smoky, and they take it to all the football games and score and blow the cannon after every touchdown, and they had it out at the baseball. So I guess you better warn your team about a cannon. I don't know if they had a cannon in Oxford or not, but
no cannon in Oxford. And, well, we've got the Hook'em Horns. Texas are upon you, or whatever, you know, whatever that is. I played at the University of Kentucky in a regional in Austin back in 1993.
Oh,
long time ago, guys.
Wow.
You guys had a big old boy back then named Brooks Kieschnick.
Oh my God, big Brooks.
That guy was a monster, man, and I mean that in such a positive way. What a great college baseball player. What a great ball player.
Did y'all play Texas that year, Matt?
We did. We played USC, Texas. We may have been. I think we were two in the queue. I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, we were. How could you don't forget two in the queue? You don't like those.
What was the highlight for you that regional?
You know, going two in the queue. I don't remember any highlights. we had a whale of a club.
Yeah,
and we came down and just did not play good baseball. It's the bottom line. We had a heck of a team, but at the end of the day, you gotta go play good baseball. And that's, you know, when I was at Kentucky, our team just didn't play well that week. And so we were gone pretty quick. But I'm excited, you know, 25 years later, whatever it's been, 25, yeah, something like that, to get back down and play in Austin again.
Well, man, I got to ask you, I mean, 15th season, four conference titles in the last 8 years. And you go in last year to Tallahassee and beat Florida State in the opening round. Your guys, this is not a Johnny Come Lately program. This is a big time baseball operation.
Very
capable
quality.
Of coming in Austin and winning two. On a personal note, I'm sure your phone's been ringing the last couple of years. How many jobs have you turned down? Or are you just college baseball's version of Mark Few? You like staying at a smaller school and getting wins?
Oh, thanks for asking. That's humbling to even hear, guys. I'll brag about our program first because you guys were doing it, so you gave me the leeway to do that, and I appreciate you guys talking about our club. Listen, this is exciting. I got to tell you guys this. Since 2007, so that's a long time now. I'm dating us a little bit, but since 2007, we are the second winningest Division I baseball program in the state of Tennessee out of 9 Division I teams. And the only team that's done better than us, you guys can guess it, Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt.
Oh,
that's a heck of a program he's got.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it for a long time. You mentioned championships. We've won 6 total championships in the last 10 years. We're the winningest program in the Ohio Valley Conference in the last 11 years. And so there's a lot of good things going on here. What I would say to the second part is, you know, I love Jesus Christ, and I know, you know, public institution, you always got to be careful, but
mm-hmm.
But I do. I love Jesus Christ, and
awesome.
Very just in God's plan to, you know, if God wants us in Cookeville, Tennessee, that's where we're going to be.
Nice.
And if he says, you know what, you're going somewhere else, and then my family and I will end up somewhere else. But I'm humbled that you guys even asked the question. I thank you for that. That's just recognizing a lot of great things that have been done here at Tennessee Tech.
So are you saying the Yankees haven't called yet, or are you turned the Yankees down? Which is it?
with that being said, I'm one of, and don't hate me for this, I'm one of the biggest Yankee fans in the country.
Oh,
like, I'm sorry.
Kirk Bowles, my co-host.
Oh, I love
is
it.
A Yankee lover to his soul.
I love it.
Oh, nice.
We're going to get along great, Matt. This is going to be fun. So, hey, and to keep that Yankee. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'll tell you who got me to love the Yankees, because I grew up in Northeast Ohio. And that's kind of the home of Thurman Munson. If I'm dating you a little bit, you remember the great catcher.
Great catcher.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Plane crash.
Died in a plane crash.
Played at Kent State, and that was my guy. I fell in love with the Yankees because of Thurman Munson.
Oh, I love
Kent
him.
State, Jack love Lambert, right? Jack Lambert, Kent State as well, right?
Exactly. Hey, speaking of the Yankee analogy, we're looking at your stats, 134 home runs. Well, you got a bunch of Babe Ruths over there, or what, Matt? Everybody hits home runs.
Hey, listen, it is a good lineup. It's really hard to meander, and that might be the right word, meander your way through our lineup. I just trust in our guys so much. And, you know, a lot of people say, I even heard a couple people tell me that they were talking about the ball, the bat. And the bats get tested everywhere we go. They test bats, you know, and
right.
to make sure they're legal and so on and so forth. But here's what I always look at, you know, because if it's the environment you play in,
mm-hmm.
or the ball you use, or the bat, or whatever, what you're gonna see, guys, is numbers that are very similar between your team and your opponent's team.
Absolutely.
So if we hit 130, you know what I'm saying? So if we hit 130 home runs, then our opponents should 20 at least. If it's the environment or the wind or the field or the ball. But listen, if you go look at the stats, I think we've out homered our opponent by 70 this year. We've out doubled our opponent by 30 or 40 or 50 or something like that.
Right.
It's just a good group of young men that have a great plan, and I'm blessed to be their baseball coach.
I mean, it's amazing. Cedric and I were looking at your ballpark dimensions. They're very, very normal. It's not a cracker box.
Yeah, I was
like,
maybe they play in a small park, and I go 329 left, 330 and right, power alleys 365, and dead center is 405, just like Dish Falk. It's very similar to Dish Falk Field.
Yeah. No, it is not a cracker jack. Matter of fact, when we play here in February, you get what northwest winds. We're not in Texas, so we can be playing. It's 30 degrees out. Matter of fact, West Virginia, Big 12 team came in, and we were playing them on a Tuesday and Wednesday, and it literally was snowing a little bit. The wind was blowing in from the northwest at like 20 miles per hour, and northwest here is straight in from center. Ooh. And it becomes a canyon. Anyway, but don't get me wrong. There are days our sports information director is a huge Cubs fan, and he calls it Little Wrigley. Wrigley Field is a little bit that way. Like some days you can't get a ball out of there with a howitzer, but then there's other days it flies. Yeah. You know, so
still got to hit it either way.
Yeah. Yeah, what he didn't mention is they took West Virginia apart. It was like 8-1, 9-0, something like that. They just got their way with them. So, but yeah, it's a great lineup.
Thank you.
I don't know if any of your guys, some of your pitchers have already been drafted. Is that not correct, Matt?
Yeah, we had a young man go in the fourth round, seventh round, and then maybe 17th round. So far, I think six guys drafted and
nice.
Three pitchers and three hitters.
Wow. And Travis Moss, is that how you pronounce it? Is it Moss?
Yes.
He's your ace, right? Will he go Saturday?
He is our ace, and more than likely he'll be going Saturday. We have not finalized that yet, but he's been our game one starter all year. But there's more than likely Moss will open up on Saturday. I'll probably have definite on that tomorrow when I'll probably be for sure on that.
And how would you describe him as a pitcher, Matt?
Bulldog. I mean, honestly, like this young man just goes out. He's a great guy, incredible young man. He actually had a chance. You know how they'll call you in the draft and say, hey, what do you think if we give you this? And last year he had that happen. And he really wanted to come back to school and play his year. And so they did not end up drafting him last year. And man, are we fortunate he's back, because not only does he have an electric fastball and really good breaking pitch and changeup, but he is a leader on our staff, incredible, incredible young man. So we love old Travis Moss.
And the Ohio Valley Player of the Year, Kevin Strohschein, has he gotten drafted?
He has not. Kevin is not. It's unbelievable. He was National Freshman of the Year 2 years, you know, when he was a freshman 2 years ago, and along with Seth Beer, him and Seth Beer, the young man from Clemson. Were both National Freshman of the Year.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Astros earlier this week
in the first round, I think.
Astros took him.
But Strohschein has not been drafted yet, and so we don't know whether he'll get drafted. I know they're getting into the rounds now, so. We'll see on Kevin, but what a great player, great young man, just incredible power, guys. Like, man, it's big time.
Well, I mean, he's got, 18 home runs, he's got over 100 hits. I mean, how do they ever get him out?
Well, he's human, right? I mean, so just like everybody. And matter of fact, 2 weeks ago at the OVC tournament, he carried us.
Right.
And then this weekend, that's what's good about our lineup. He wasn't bad. He liked 250 on the weekend, something like that.
Yeah.
But we got some other guys that carried him a little bit, you know.
Well, yeah, 338 team batting average. I guess you have some guys that can carry you. I mean, there's not an out in your lineup, it doesn't look like.
Well, they're tough outs, and that's, you know, that's good. That's what you want. You want a lineup, if you can have it, obviously. It sounds funny when I say this, but you want a lineup. You can't. Where they can't pitch around two guys to get to the next two.
Right.
You want them to have to throw to everybody. And you know, honestly, I've got great belief in these guys, and I feel that's the way our life is. So we're fortunate.
Well, Coach, man, we appreciate it so much and enjoying these moments with you today. And safe travels. Good luck this weekend. We look forward to seeing your team.
Awesome. Well, guys, hey, thank you so very much for having me on, and we look forward to being down there, okay?
Well, we appreciate it. We'll swap Yankee stories after you get here later in the week. All right, Matt?
I love it.
All right, buddy.
Take care, man.
Enjoyed it. Take care.
You guys take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Duck, that was a fun show.
Man, I'm ready to see the first pitch.
The first pitch. That will do it for episode 101, our special super regional version of On Second Thought. We got to thank Texas coach David Pierce and Tennessee Tech coach Matt Braga for joining us. We'll see you at the ballpark. For the Duck, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/back to school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.